Welcome back to the Simple Farmhouse Life podcast. I mentioned on a recent episode that I wanted to bring on some guests. Felt like a little bit of a one-sided conversation lately, just me talking, which isn't always bad, but lately just, you know, needed to bring on some fresh perspective, and you all really delivered in giving me some ideas. Keep those coming as you think of them. Several of you mentioned that I should bring on Caitlin from Calico and Twine. She truly captures the beauty of cozy fall moments on her homestead, in her YouTube videos, on her Instagram. From a basic pie to a walk or harvest around her farm, each moment just really draws you in, and it's really something to see. You can go over on Instagram and find her and maybe look through some of the photos as we are chatting, but we had so much fun talking about harvest recipes, cozy foods for the winter, our go-to spices, and kitchen philosophies. So without further ado, let's dive into the interview. My name is Lisa, mom of six and creator of the blog and YouTube channel Farmhouse on Boone. Join me as I share with you my love for creating a handmade home from scratch, cooking, and a little mom and entrepreneur life along the way. Awesome. Well, thank you so much for joining me. I'm really excited to have you on. I'll be doing an introduction in the intro, but let's definitely do a little introduction. Tell us about you and your blog and your YouTube channel. I noticed you have a beautiful YouTube channel.
Oh, thank you so much. Yeah. So I never really know what to call what I do exactly. I do a variety of things, but I guess I would say I'm a full-time content creator. I run a shop called Calico and Twine, where I sell a variety of vintage and homemade goods. And then I also do a little bit of YouTube and blogging here and there. And I also recently started writing ebooks. So that has been what I've been working on.
Awesome. Yeah. And it all has the same very cozy. I feel like your whole thing was built for this time of year. I mean, as always, but especially right now, it all just looks very wholesome and cozy, and I don't know how else to describe it. It's just all so very beautiful. So I was mulling around. I knew I wanted to have you on here. Actually, several people recommended you, first of all. I think I had actually already asked you though before that. So I knew I wanted to have you on, but then I was trying to figure out what exactly we should talk about. And people really enjoy getting cooking ideas all through the year, but especially right now, seasonal cooking. And after I was looking through your ebooks, I was thinking, okay, that's going to be perfect, because it looks like you have the seasonal cooking, especially for this time of year, totally down. So tell us, what's the name of your book again?
It's called Harvest and Home. And it's just focused on recipes using seasonal ingredients for autumn and winter.
Okay. I thought so. Yeah. Perfect. Perfect timing. Somebody recently told me I should do an episode on kitchen principles to live by. Like, what are the guiding principles behind your style of cooking? Are you a menu planner? Do you always reach for fresh ingredients? Do you have any staples? What are some of the things that you feel like you live by in your kitchen?
Well, I think you and I definitely have some similar values when it comes to food. I would say the most important part for me is where I source my food and how I source it, how it's been raised. So I would say I eat a fairly balanced diet. I like to incorporate grass-fed, pasture-raised meats, raw dairy, pastured eggs, and I'm a big believer of buying ingredients rather than food items at the store. I think it's important to know what you're putting in your body, and when you cook from home, you're able to control what is going into your food. So I really value whole food ingredients, and I definitely try to source locally as much as possible.
So do you have any tips for that, or have you been doing that for a while, finding local farmers and things like that?
Yes. So I've been into organic eating and natural living for probably about 4 years now. But a big chunk of that time, I was eating plant-based. So I was sourcing vegetables locally whenever I could. But It came to a point where I just had to be honest about what that diet was really doing to my health, whether it fit in with my values regarding local eating. And I eventually decided to incorporate back in animal products. And so I decided I wanted to source those solely from small farmers locally. So I would say I've been supporting my local farmers for a few years now, but I kind of went all in within the past year or so, really focusing on who raises my food and where I source it from.
Yeah, it takes a little digging, but once you get some of those connections established, it's a lot easier, especially if you know, if one drops out, you can get connections from them, because we had a dairy farm we went to for a lot of years, maybe like 6 years, and then they ended up quitting, but we were able to funnel over to another dairy farmer in the area and build another relationship. So yeah,
I love that.
I'm the same. I live by fresh ingredients, try to cook seasonally. It's inexpensive for one, because you know, you're buying things that are not pre-processed in any way. And then also it's just really delicious and it gives you something to look forward to with each changing season. There's a new menu, something new to look forward to and enjoy. And I really love that. Lots of herbs, lots of salt, lots of butter. Like sometimes the reason we want to eat out is they just flavor the food so much. And you know, you can do that at home too.
Yes, for sure.
So what are some menu items for the colder months? Some staples.
Lots of soups, stews, chilies. I definitely have taken some cues from you with bone broth. And so I'm trying to incorporate a lot of that. And I really enjoy using winter squash just because they're so hearty and so filling. And I just love adding them to soups and potato bakes, things like that.
So do you have any other tips for that? Winter squash, are you talking about like butternut squash and pumpkin? Are there any like weirder varieties that you use, or less common varieties? And then are there any other ways that you like to use them? Because I use them in soups. I sometimes will take a pureed pumpkin and I'll throw it into a meatloaf or something. But every once in a while I run out of ideas on how else to use those winter squashes.
Right. Yeah. I mainly use pie pumpkins and butternut squash. I also like Blue Hubbard. They're fairly cheap for the size and you can get a lot out of them. So I also do puree in soups and whatnot. I like to make a pumpkin potato lasagna instead of noodles, you do potatoes and then a cheesy pumpkin filling. I have that recipe in my ebook, but I just kind of like to do things like that, paired with potatoes, or I'll make pumpkin French toast, things like that.
Oh, okay. So with the pumpkin French toast, do you just stir the pumpkin puree into the eggs and milk or something like that?
Yeah, I typically just puree all the squashes. I'll roast them and then puree them, and they can store in the freezer after you've pureed them. And it's just nice to have on hand to bulk up meals.
Yeah, I feel like those kind of vegetables, like sweet potatoes, pumpkins, they all are a little bit heartier, to where you can get away with more of a vegetable-based meal. Things like potatoes as well, I guess they're just starchier. They fill you up better. I actually remember saying this last summer, that if you don't really love gardening, but you want to grow as much food as possible, things like butternut squash, pumpkins, they take off. They're super easy. They're so big that you don't really have to weed the garden very much. And then they give you a lot of food. So
yeah, for sure. And they store really well too.
Yeah, they store. You can buy them up at your, if you have a produce stand. We have a produce stand in our area that they start selling them really cheap around this time of year or after Halloween. And yeah, they store well and they're a good secret weapon. Okay, so that was actually my next question I have on here. So do you have any secret weapon ingredients that you use that are a little bit interesting, or that most people maybe don't use, any herbs or spices or something that is a signature for you?
Yeah, I cook with nutritional yeast a lot.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I wouldn't say it's healthy. It's probably not the worst thing you could eat, but I just love how rich it makes dishes taste. It's great for if you're cooking for someone that's dairy free. It just kind of adds a cheesy flavor to certain dishes. I love putting it in potato soup or pumpkin soup, things like that.
I've heard of people, so I've actually never done this, but I've read about that forever just because it's been in different health books. I heard about people using it on popcorn. Have you tried that?
Yes, it's so good on popcorn.
Okay, I need to try it. That's not something I don't think has ever been used in my kitchen. So that's something to try. How about, do you have any signature spices? Like, I'm always on pretty much every dish. I throw an Italian seasoning blend, salt, garlic powder, onion powder. I recently got a bulk amount of Herbs de Provence, and now I'm like, or I think I say that wrong. You can correct me. People always do.
No, that's how
But
I say
okay, good.
it
So that is my new favorite. It has a little bit of lavender in it. It is the best thing. And so that is now my signature move as far as spices go.
Yeah, that sounds really good. I keep things pretty basic. I use onion powder and garlic powder, salt. This past summer, I made the Elliott Homestead's herbal salt. I really enjoyed that. It's like a Tuscan flavor, and I've also made a basil salt before, which is really delicious.
Do you add fresh basil and oil, or how do you do that?
Yes, I just added fresh herbs and I think a few garlic cloves, and then you can either let the salt sit for a few days to dry, or you can pop it in your oven on really low for about an hour.
Oh, so you kind of dehydrate it.
Yeah.
Ooh, I should have done that. I had so much basil in my garden and I didn't end up even using all of it. I should have preserved a lot of it, but I get really lazy toward the end of gardening season.
Yeah.
I get just done. I'm like, yeah, I'll have a whole new zest for this in the spring. I know I will, like way more than I should because then I overplant. But
Yeah, I definitely understand that.
yeah, but herbs really change things. If you have something like that on hand, all of your food will be so much more delicious. I don't know about you, but I use a ton of garlic. Anytime I'm cooking like a ground meat, I will mince usually a whole bulb of it in there. Do you use a lot of that as
Yes,
well?
we love garlic and onions. Those are definitely staples for winter, and just great in soups and stews, and you can really use a lot of them and get the benefits out of there.
Yeah, I go through phases of using cumin, and it's really good and hearty, and it has that fall winter taste to me. And then I forget about it for a while, but it's so good on sweet potato fries or in a soup. But yeah, I go through phases of it.
Yeah.
So, do you have any favorite resources that taught you what you know about cooking? Books, YouTube channels, blogs?
Yeah, so I learned to cook when I went plant-based just because I was pretty much on my own for that. No one else in my family was interested in going plant-based, so I was in the kitchen learning how to cook, and that is how I learned pretty much the basics. Once I introduced a more traditional way of eating meats, dairy, I really had no idea what I was doing. So I know your videos really helped me a lot because I was able to see, like, oh, that's what I can do with ground beef, or that's how I can cook a chicken, and that's how I can use it throughout the week. So I really love your What We Eat in a Week
Oh,
videos.
thank you.
Yeah. And when I was adventuring more into traditional eating, I also discovered the Weston A. Price Foundation and the book Nourishing Traditions by Sally Fallon. And that has definitely been a huge inspiration
That
to
was the
me.
exact same book that the last guest recommended.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah.
So apparently, yeah, into traditional foods. that's the place to start. I actually read that book too many years ago. So yeah, that is definitely the go-to. And I'm sure that a lot of people have learned what they know about traditional cooking from that.
Yeah, for sure.
Out of curiosity, how did you know that you wanted to start incorporating some animal products in? Did you just feel physically like you needed it?
Yes, I was not really doing too great physically. I was just exhausted all the time. I could just tell I was lacking the essential nutrients that you can only get from animal products. And I understand that everyone's body feels differently on different diets. So it just was not working out for me. And I ate a fairly balanced plant-based diet. I wasn't eating fake meats or tofu or soy or anything like that, but I was just still really missing something. It was the Weston A. Price Foundation and the book Sacred Cow really opened my eyes to.
I'm pretty sure my sister just read that.
Yeah, it was really good. And it just opened my eyes to the ethics of eating meat and how it's beneficial. And so I really had nothing to lose trying to incorporate animal products back in. And it was really helpful to my health when I did.
Okay. Just curious. So any more recipes you want to preview from your book? Anything that stands out that are favorites for you and for your readers, possibly? I know you said soups and stews, but anything specifically?
Some of my favorites from Harvest and Home are a sourdough craisin loaf. It's long fermented and it's so delicious in the butternut squash sage soup. That's also in there. I think that's definitely one of my favorites from in there.
What did you say for the, what kind of bread was it? It was a sourdough what?
Sourdough craisin rosemary loaf.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that does sound good.
Yeah. And then I just have recipes that have been passed down in my family, cookies, sourdough stuffing, just really warming, comforting meals for the colder months.
Yeah. Sourdough stuffing. That's something I've been making lately. Do you use a loaf of sourdough bread and then use bone broth and celery? Is that what you do pretty much?
Yes. Lots of herbs. I'll just take a loaf and dry it out slowly in the oven, cut up into cubes. And then I'll use that for the breadcrumbs and bone broth, herbs, sausage, things like that.
I see an herby biscuit type recipe. I think it's chives on your Instagram.
Yes, on my blog.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, I think I'm dipping back into summer here, but still, it looks very good. Do you do a lot of canning as well and fermenting?
Yes, this year we definitely upped our canning game and we have lots of little pockets of summer to enjoy this winter. We did a lot of relish and pickles, a few jams, and some tomatoes. So that will be nice to enjoy with our potatoes and meats this winter.
Oh yeah, that'll be delicious. So tell us about your Etsy shop. What all do you sell on there?
So I do vintage clothing. I source pieces that are high quality and still have a lot of life in them. And I do this because I want to give them a new home. And I think that clothes that have been made in decades past have been a lot higher quality than what is made now. So I have a huge passion for vintage and old brands that have made their clothes really well. And then I also sell a variety of handmade items. So I'll do scrunchies, aprons. I work with a tinsmith. Oh, thank you. I work with a tinsmith and he makes these amazing candlestick holders. So I sell little home things like that too.
Oh yeah. So pretty. I love your whole aesthetic with the slower type of living vibe to it. I was noticing also on your YouTube channel that you built a winter apothecary. Do you want to share about that at all? I mean, it looks like you use herbs like ginger and garlic and onions. Have you guys found that helpful?
Yes. In that video, I shared just three recipes that we kind of have on hand During cold and flu season, I made fire cider, which is not my recipe, but it's great to have on hand. It's very powerful. I made
with
vinegar. And then I made a Four Thieves vinegar, which is kind of similar but less spicy. It was just herbs and garlic and apple cider vinegar. And then the third recipe I made was elderberry syrup. And those are all three very powerful natural immune boosters, which is definitely important this time of year.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, that's definitely a video to check out on your channel, Girl in Calico. That is something that we all need right about now.
Yes, for sure.
Awesome. So do you, before we get off here, do you have any winter traditions or Christmas traditions that you want to share?
Well, I really am ready to just hunker down and cozy up.
Yeah.
I really just love to bake the Christmas classics around this time of year, gingerbread, cookie cutter cookies, things like that. Yeah, I'm just really looking forward to the holidays and a little joy at the end of this year.
Yeah. Yeah. I think pretty much everybody seems to be decorating earlier and it's socially acceptable now, even though usually it's not. Yeah. Usually right. If you put up a Christmas tree now, it's wrong. Now it's like, where have you been? Yes, of course. You're supposed to have decorated by now. Pretty much. Okay. Well, thank you so much. Tell everyone, I think we pretty much talked about the best places to find you. I don't think I mentioned yet that you do also have a podcast that I just found out about recently.
I do. I haven't been adding any episodes, but I plan to get back to that probably this winter when things slow down a bit. It's called Harvest Work.
Harvest Work. Okay. Beautiful. Okay. Well, thank you so much, Caitlin. I really appreciate talking about all of this with you and cozy foods for the fall and winter.
Yeah, well, it was such an honor to talk to you. Thank you so much for having me.
All right. Well, thank you so much for listening to this episode of the Simple Farmhouse Life podcast. Again, make sure to go check out Calico and Twine and all that she has to offer. And I will see you in the next episode.